The stream. I would ask you all to stand, but if you're standing, that'd be interesting. Be careful when you stand up. Our scripture reading today is from James chapter 4, verses 8 through 10. Hallelujah. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. Amen.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning. Well, there wasn't a whole lot of response in here, but that's okay because I know you're listening out there. Funny thing is that when we're back there, I'm back there with Norman on the computer, and we're watching the people who are watching. And what's interesting is that human behavior is the same. You come in here late and you start tuning in late. We started seeing them clicking on one after the other halfway through worship. It's like, come on, people, wake up. You can do this in your bed. You don't have to go very far. So anyway, glad you are with us this morning. If you're tuning in with us for the first time, welcome to Calvary Chapel River Oaks. If you're one of our regular attendees and people that come every week, thank you for following us online this morning. This is temporary. We don't know how long this will last. It's sad that we're in this position where we have to shut down. It was for everybody's benefit and safety. We want to make sure that everyone gets through this season. But understand that we are in a season, and everything will circle back around. This will go away. It's just we don't know exactly when. So we'll keep doing what we need to do. We'll continue to pray. The president did declare a National Day of Prayer again. So now we have two this year, and there may be more coming. But we do need to be praying. You know, there are many people that are affected by this disease, and still there's so many things unknown. I do want to encourage you that we are not in a panic mode. No one needs to be in a panic mode. The media does have the ability to hype things up a lot more than they need to, but we are taking precaution because we care about you. And we care about our people, we care about those around us, and we want to be here as a light to shine to those in the area. So we'll be back to normal as soon as possible. As of now, we will discontinue all the services, including the Wednesday nights, including the Bible studies. The Monday Bible study at this point is also going to be discontinued. So for the ladies who have been going to that, all the Bible studies and things are discontinued. But we will be probably reaching out. At least on our prayer night, I want to encourage you all to be in prayer that night. Just take that hour as we normally would and pray at home. And what we'll do this week is I will have Norman send out maybe some things that we're going to be praying about as a group or how we would have prayed as a group. And then also as the Lord leads you to pray, continue to do that. So anyway, let's go to the Lord this morning. And Father, we thank you so much for the day we have with you. We thank you, Lord, that you are ministering to each one of us, even though we're not together and we miss one another. We just pray, Lord, that this would be an encouragement to each other as we study your word together, as we meditate upon your word, and as we listen to what your Holy Spirit has to say. Lord, we praise your holy name. We love you, and we thank you for all that you've given us. And all God's people said, amen. I heard it. I heard amen out there. Okay, well, if you have your Bibles, if you'll open to Matthew chapter 5, as we continue our study in the Beatitudes this morning, our title this morning are Blessed Are the Mourners. Blessed are the mourners. And in our last study, we saw how the Sermon on the Mount and the Beatitudes are the core of discipleship. I really believe that this is what Jesus was doing as he had his followers. He had the 12, and they were going with him, and he was ministering to the multitudes. He was healing. He was feeding them. But when it came time to really break down the message that he wanted to speak, he brought the disciples in close. And he was sharing with them and giving to them, this is who you are going to become. It's not a to-do list, but a become list. You will become these things when you're walking with me. You are to become these things. This is part of your life. It's dying to yourself and living in the Spirit. It's the attitude of our heart that matters here. So far we've learned that what it means to be poor in spirit or coming to the Lord empty of ourselves or of our flesh, so we can now be filled with the richness of His Spirit. And that's the wonderful thing that we know of. When we're poor in our own spirit, we're rich in His Spirit. We're rich in the things of the Lord. We're rich in what He has for us. And we're growing daily in our walk with the Lord. So let's continue this morning as we pick up in verse 4. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Now the Greek word for mourn here is pentheo. And that means to grieve, the feeling or the act, to wail or bewail. And the implication here is more than just a casual mourning. It's more than just I'm feeling bad in the moment about a situation. But it's a deep groaning from inside your being. It's a wailing in your spirit over the sin, not only in your own life, but for those around us who are reaping the consequences of sin that go all the way back to Adam. Romans 5:12 tells us, therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all sin. So sin came into the world through Adam, and now we're all born into sin. And Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. What we're supposed to be looking at when we look at sin is we should be grieving over it. We should be mourning over the sin that's present around us and even the sin of our own lives. In Christ, our attitude towards sin should be an attitude of grief or mourning over the sin in the world. So in a sentence, we could read this verse this way. Blessed or extremely fortunate is he who grieves or wails over the sin in the world, because they will be comforted. The Old Testament prophets mourn for Israel. All of them we can read through, Isaiah, Elijah, Ezekiel, all of these prophets, they testified and they witnessed and they saw and they preached and they taught, but they mourned over the sin of Israel. And Jeremiah particularly is referred to as the mourning prophet. That doesn't mean he was just a prophet in mourning from like 9 to 12. He was actually mourning from his spirit. He was grieving, a grieving prophet. Jeremiah 8, 18 through 19 says, I would comfort myself in sorrow. My heart is faint in me. Listen, the voice, the cry of the daughter of my people from a far country. Is not the Lord in Zion? Is not her king in her? Why have they provoked me to anger with their carved images, with foreign idols? In Jeremiah 8, 20 through 22, we read, the harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. For the hurt of the daughter of my people, I am hurt, I am mourning. Astonishment has taken hold of me. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is there no recovery for the health of the daughter of my people? You can hear the grief. You can hear the mourning. And then we have Lamentations. Now this is Jeremiah lamenting over the sin of Israel and Judah. This is him lamenting this whole book. There was the interesting thing about Lamentations, it's a short book. But almost right dead center of the book of Lamentations, we see the hope. He's pouring out his grief. He's pouring out the sin. He's pouring out and praying over all of these things and weeping over all the things that have gone on in Israel. And yet right in the middle, he says, morning by morning, new mercies I see. We know that the Lord, then, He is one that comforts in the midst of the mourning. And that is almost, it is specifically, if you look at it, is almost specifically directly the middle of the book that we have the comfort of the hope in the midst of the mourning. I think there's something for us to see there. See, God always shows up when we're in mourning. He's always present with us. He's always there. We have the Holy Spirit. We're going to get to that in just a moment. But the interesting thing here is when we look at see how these prophets lamented and how they prayed, this should be the heart that we have. Lamentations 5:14-16 says, "The elders have ceased gathering at the gate, and the young men from their music. The joy of our heart has ceased. Our dance has turned into mourning. The crown has fallen from our head. Woe to us, for we have sinned." Now, it's interesting, in our study in Isaiah, we're going through the woes that were spoken forth there in Isaiah the prophet, woe. And we were like on the fourth or fifth woe right now. There were six that were given. And he was prophesying these things that would come because of the sin. And we look at here, and what we see here, the crown has fallen on our head. Woe to us, for we have sinned. It's like a confirmation that the judgment was coming and had come because of the sin. And that's where the grief is. And look around in the world today. We should be mourning for the world. We should be mourning for the sin of the world. We should be mourning for the lost. We should be mourning for those who are believers, who are struggling with things in their lives. We should be mourning for them, praying for them. We should be encouraging them. We should be on our knees asking God to pour out upon the land, just as we're doing right now for this country with this virus that's kind of went around the world. We're praying. We're seeking. We're mourning the loss of those who have died to this disease. We're mourning the fact that it's still unknown and we don't know how far it's going to spread. We don't know anything about it. But there's something happening in the world and it's affecting the entire world. And we know that sickness is rooted all the way back to Adam. Because prior to Adam, there was no sickness. Prior to the sin, should I say, and the fall of Adam, there was no sickness. They were healthy. They had a lifetime, an eternity to live in a healthy place, in the healthy relationship with God, in a healthy relationship with each other. And no sickness, no death. It was all perfect, the perfect place there in Eden. But sin, the tempter came. He brought Eve under deception. Then Adam willingly sinned. And from that point forward, sickness is in the world. Death is in the world. Evil is in the world. And as believers, we should be mourning. We should be mourning for these things, and we should be mourning and praying and seeking that God would intervene. For those that would have ears to hear, let them hear what God is saying to the people. Let them come to know Jesus. Listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit. Today, there are many who have rejected that voice. We know that a preacher, a teacher, cannot stand up and save anybody. We can't save anybody. I don't have a power in me to save anybody. I have the power of the Holy Spirit in me to teach the truth of what the Word of God says. Then the Holy Spirit, His job is to whisper in the ears of those who would hear it, and if their heart is right and they are ready, they will receive the Word that is teached. See, I'm still good up here with nobody in the room. Taught, they will respond to the words taught. They will respond to the Holy Spirit. They will get on their knees. They will repent. They will recognize that they're sinners. So as the church, our role is to be mourning for the lost, praying that the Holy Spirit would minister to those who have ears to hear, and then be bold to go forth and speak the word so that they will have the opportunity to hear. We need to be prepared. We need to be preaching, teaching, and sharing God's word. And as we go back through and we're looking at the mourning aspect, the entire book of Lamentations and all through the Old Testament, we see mourning. And the issue we have today in the church is that we've moved away from mourning for the sins of the world and have somewhat become complacent. There's no room for complacency in the church. There's no room for accepting sin as it's just part of the world we live in, and so we're just not going to say anything about it. There's no place for us to be complacent about who we are in Christ. We should be alive in Christ. The Spirit should be stirring our hearts. The Spirit should be moving us forward. We should be always going forward, not stalled out because we've become complacent and just kind of satisfied to status quo. That's not who we're called to be. We're called to be a soldier moving forward, an army moving forward together. We are supposed to be going forward, not going backwards. And so many times what we see in the world, and that's crept into the church, is that the church is no longer going forward. They're just kind of stagnant. They're stagnant in the Word of God. They're stagnant in their attitude towards sin. They're stagnant in their spirit. They're not allowing the Holy Spirit to move within them anymore. They just want to kind of be comfortable. And that's not who we're supposed to be. There's nowhere in the Word of God that says, I am here to make you comfortable. I want you to be comfortable and just be able to come and sit and enjoy and then go back out and live your life and then come back and enjoy. Hey, listen, we should enjoy the time we have together. I'm not talking about that. We should have the congregation full, and one day we'll. When the Lord allows and opens the doors and fills this place, that's going to be an awesome time. And I'm looking forward to that. But the thing is that that's not really where our joy comes from. Our joy comes from the Lord. Our joy comes from our relationship with Him. Our joy comes from the Holy Spirit that brings us into fellowship with Jesus and into fellowship with the Father. That's where our joy is rooted. But in the world, the mourning is there. It's awful. There's so much stuff going on around us that's all designed to keep us complacent. Or in some cases, it's designed to present sin in such an emotional way that you just accept it. We were watching a show. It was kind of an interesting little show about this girl who hears music in her head from other people singing from their heart. It's just like she has the ability to hear their heart song. They may say, I'm doing great, but she can hear by the song they're singing inside that they're not doing so good. It's kind of a silly little idea. But the whole concept of the show is that she ministers to people, not in a Christian way, but she ministers to people because of she hears their heart, has that ability. Well, they brought in a transvestite. And the heart of this person was emotional and sad, and the whole thing was to draw us into the emotional sadness of where this person was. And you do feel empathy and sympathy, and you want to love them, and we should love them. But we can't accept that sin as being okay in the body. And the whole concept of this storyline was this person was a boy, wanted to be a girl, or grown now, and was going to church and was being a boy in church and being a transvestite in the world. And the whole thing circled around, brought into the emotional aspect was now the church accepts them to be who they are as their gender preference rather than who they are and who they're born as. And see, there's where the world gets in and twists things up. And you feel sorry and you have emotional felt for that person. You want to just hug them and say it's okay. But it's not okay. It's not okay to choose the world's view over God's view. It's not okay to be complacent and say, well, if we just accept them and everybody will be fine, we don't have to bring attention to the fact that this is sin. We don't have to bring attention to the fact that the Bible speaks against this. We'll just love them. Well, there's a problem there. Because by doing that, and I'm not saying you don't love them, what I'm saying is that you have to teach truth to them. And honestly, we had a conversation not too long ago. Well, what happens if people come into your church that are homosexual or lesbian or transgender? What would you do? I said, well, we welcome into the church. But the teaching that we have would contradict their lifestyle. And if they can handle that and stay, that will give them time for the Holy Spirit to minister to them. But if they can't handle it, which most of the time they can't, they will not come back. See, we're speaking to the heart of the matter. We're not speaking to the flesh. We're not speaking to man's desires. We're not speaking to what I think I want, what I think I am. All that stuff is flesh. We're talking about the core issue of the spiritual being. And the spiritual being, hearing truth, has to respond to it. Either yes, it's true, or no, I don't believe it. And if they say yes, it's true, then it challenges one who wants to live in an alternate lifestyle or do any sin, practice any sin outside of the Word of God. Anybody who wants to practice anything that's outside of the Word of God will be challenged by the Word of God, and they will either accept it or reject it. We can love them through that process, but we cannot be silent. We need to be mourning for them. We need to be weeping for the sin of the world. Again, the entire book of Lamentations is a book of mourning, and we have seen that the church has moved from the mourning of sin to being complacent. And not only that, but in some cases, sin itself has wormed its way into the church, and it's practiced or accepted as okay. 1 Corinthians 5, 1 through 2 says, it is actually reported that there is sexual immorality among you, and such sexual immorality as is not even named among the Gentiles, that a man has his father's wife. And you are puffed up, and have not rather mourned over his sin, that he who has done this deed might be taken away from among you. You haven't mourned for it. You haven't changed it. You haven't addressed it. You've just accepted it into the body of Christ. And Romans 1:28-32 says, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which was not fitting. And we've read through all of these things, but I'll go through them again. Being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy and murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, and unmerciful, who, knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but approve of those who practice them. See, that's where the rubber meets the road in the church. Not only do some people do the things that the world does in the church, but they just also approve of those who practice those things that are sinful things. The church has got to move away from this. The church has got to come to this place to where we are no longer complacent about it, and disregard the cultural movement, disregard the media, disregard the political moves that are trying to change who we are and what we can believe and what we can teach, based on cultural aspects and cultural drives. And we see this issue of sin in the church all the way back to the early church. When sin is brought into the church, it needs to be addressed, and removed quickly, efficiently, and effectively. If it's not, it will affect the entire congregation, and pretty soon it will spread, infecting all of those around them. We are either in Christ or we're not. You can't have both ways. You can't live and bring the world into the church and everybody coexist. We've already talked about this on Wednesday night, particularly. The world and the Spirit of God cannot coexist. They can't. You have to separate the two, and you have to make a choice that I will live for the truth of God's Word, or I will live for the world. There is no middle ground there. This is black and white. And I know that a lot of times people say, well, there's so many gray areas. No, there's so many things that people want to make gray areas. But the Bible is black and white when it comes to sin. There is no place for the sin to be practiced in the church. 1 Corinthians 5:6-7, Paul is addressing them regarding sin in the church. He says, your glorying is not good. Do you not know that a little leaven levels the whole lump? Therefore, purge out the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, since you truly are unleavened. For indeed Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. We as the church need to get back to the reality and the ability to recognize what sin is and call it what it is. This requires time spent in reading, studying, and meditating on the Word of God. Getting back to the two greatest commandments, we talk about this probably, if anything, I would say our church here is really rooted in those two greatest commandments. It comes back over and over in our messages and has for the last 8 years. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. But to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, it absolutely includes accepting His word to be true. There can be no doubt. Now, there may be some dislike. The fleshly nature is not going to like what the Word of God says to our flesh, and we're going to rebel against it. But when we come to the place to where we say, you know what? I don't always understand why God made this His Word. I don't understand why He wrote the way He wrote in some things, but He's sovereign. And what does sovereign mean? All-powerful. He has the last word. I will accept His word as truth because He said it, not because man said it. God said it, and therefore I have to accept that. So I will choose to live my life in submission to His word, even though it goes against every fleshly part of my nature and every grain of my body. And believe me, if you've fallen into any sin, I'm not going to pick one and say it's this one or that one. It doesn't matter. If you are struggling in a sin today, and the Word of God specifically says this is not truth, this is not how you're to live your life, you have to come to that point to say, I accept God's Word, I deny my flesh, no matter how much I want it, no matter how much I feel it, no matter how much it grabs a hold of me, I choose God over that. And He will deliver you. He will take hold of you. He will give you the strength to say no. Now, does that mean that you will no longer have desires for the sinful nature? No. You still have the flesh. And the desires are there. And we have to come to the Lord. We have to submit unto Him and accept His word as truth. And then from that point forward, choose to accept His word over our feelings, over our emotions, over our desires, and particularly when the desires are lies about who you are. That's something that really the enemy has really come in and confused so many people. But the Word of God is clear, and what we have to do as believers is believe that absolutely it includes accepting and believing His Word to be true. If it goes against God's Word, it's sin. Period. No negotiation, no rationalization. We're not going to bring in a mediator so we can get the two on the same page and bring somebody to the middle. There is no middle ground. If it goes against God's word, it's sin, period. Now, loving our neighbors as ourselves means we should also mourn for those who practice the things that go against God's word. We need to be mourning for them, praying for them, asking for the Holy Spirit to touch their hearts, to draw them into that relationship with Him. And I believe that the revival that we've been praying for, the revival that this community has been praying for and the churches around here, will come when we get on our knees and repent for the way we've become callous toward the sin that is all around us. We should be asking for His Spirit to come. We should be asking for His Spirit to give us a heart of mourning and to give us a weeping heart toward the lost world. There's a worship song that says, a part of the song, I think the song is Hosanna, but there's a line in there that says, break my heart for what breaks yours. Break my heart for what breaks yours. Now that's easy to put in a song. It's easy to sing, and you feel it sometimes when you sing it. But the truth is that until the church comes to that place to where we are really willing to say, Lord, I no longer want to be complacent. Your heart is broken for the world. I want to be broken for the world. Your heart is broken for the church that has allowed sin in. My heart is broken for the church that allows sin in. Your heart is broken and mourning. I want to be broken and mourning. I want to be where your heart is. God is not accepting of the things that some of the churches have accepted. God is not accepting of the ways of the world. He's mourning for them. He wants to come. Jesus said, I've come that all who would hear would believe. He came for all. Not all will receive, but he came for the world. He came for all. And all have a choice. But think about it this way. Think about it even as a parent. It's sometimes easy as a parent to not correct your child because it's just, I don't want to have to deal with that right now. I don't have to deal with that right now. They'll be all right. We just won't even address this. We're just going to let that one go. Now, how many times you think that would work in a relationship between the parent and the child before the child becomes so rebellious that the parent has no more influence at all over the child? The child is running the show. Because they are now allowed to do what they want to do, what seems fair in their eyes, which looks good in their eyes. Well, see, this is what I believe that the Holy Spirit is speaking to the churches today. He's speaking to the churches and saying, I'm bringing correction. I'm bringing rebuke. I'm bringing truth. And you must hear it. Or you will become callous. You will become so engraved that the church is not effective. And why do you think that so many times we see billboards that go up of a new church? We're not like other church. Come visit us. We're different. We don't do church. I saw that billboard up a while back. Come to us. Come to our church because we don't do church. What does that mean? It means different things to different people, obviously. But what they're really saying is we know that people don't want to go to church anymore, so we want you to come to our place because we're different. But here's the thing. The difference should not be the music. The difference should not be the performing or the lights and all that stuff. That's not the difference that we should be talking about. What we should be able to stand and say, come to our church because we are preaching God's word. And if that's different than places you've gone, well, there's a problem. And there's a problem in the church. And a lot of times I've heard that. I've gone to this church or that church and it's all show or it's all this or it's all that. And you do have the other side, the ones who want to remain in their sin that say, well, I don't go to church because they're too judgmental. Well, when you stay in the Word of God and allow the Holy Spirit to do His work in people, it's not judgment that the Holy Spirit brings. It's conviction that He brings. Judgment will come later. If they don't receive the conviction that's spoken today. And see, this is what we get all wrapped up in. Oh, I don't want to be a judgmental church. I don't want to do this. And so we won't talk about this and we won't talk about that. Listen, to read, to teach, to preach God's word is not judgmental. Like I said, judgment comes later. For anyone that you approach and they say, oh, don't judge me, I'm not judging you. I'm giving you what the Holy Bible says. I'm giving you what God's Word says. This is not judgment, not yet. Don't let it become judgment by rejecting it today. And that's the go-to phrase for everybody that doesn't want to hear what the Bible says. Don't judge me. Look, if you're feeling judgment, it's not coming from me. It's coming from the Word. And the Word, again, is bringing conviction. That's what you're really feeling. And if you don't want to deal with that, you will deal with it either today or you'll deal with it when you face Jesus. Period. But the judgment will come, but that's not what we're doing here. We're not here to bring judgment. We're here to bring truth. We're here to bring life. We're here to bring the light of the Lord. So this is something that we should be asking for. Lord, break my heart for what breaks yours. And it's broken over sin. We should be broken over sin. And this touches on what we saw in our last message, dying to ourself and living in His Spirit. Psalm 37:4, and this verse has, I think, been misquoted so many times, particularly in the prosperity movement. But what it says is, delight yourself also in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart. Now, I truly believe that delighting ourselves in Him changes us. it changes us from the fleshly mindset to the spiritual mindset. We're no longer practicing or living in that place of flesh, but we recognize that's the sinful place. I want to be in the holy place. I want to be in the spiritual place. So our desires change. We're no longer praying as a baby Christian might that says, oh Lord, I need a new job so I can make more money. I want to have a bigger house. I want to have a bigger car. I want to have this. I want to have that. I want to take more vacations. I want to have money at my disposal. But when we delight ourselves in Him, it's no longer about the things of this world, but now our desires are, Lord, I want to be more like You. Lord, I want to know Your Word. Lord, I want to be in the place You want me to be when I'm supposed to be there. I want to be a light in the world wherever You choose to place me. These are the desires that come from the Lord to us. See, we're now desiring His heart and His desires instead of our own. I know that mourning and grieving, again, isn't a comfortable place. Nobody likes to be in a place of mourning and grieving because it's painful. When you're truly mourning, you're drawing a deep emotion, a deep feeling, a deep-rooted, a deep part of yourself is just mourning or grieving over something. And so that's not a comfortable place, so nobody wants to desire that. Oh, Lord, I want to be mourning today. I want to be so mourning that I'm just crying and weeping all day and I can't have anything else. I can't eat, can't drink. I just want to be at that place. I don't know of anybody who's really prayed that way. But what it means when we say we're praying that we are mourning, that we are now allowing the Holy Spirit to reveal things to us and that we're deeply concerned for the things around us. See, a lot of times, our human nature, we just want to be happy and peaceful. Free from pain, free from hurt of any kind. And for some of us, because of our past, we try to avoid anything that brings to us remembrance of pain and suffering. You want to avoid it because of things that you witnessed or things that may have been done to you or maybe choices that you made in your life regarding certain things that brought pain. But Jesus said, and I want to encourage you with this morning, Jesus said, you will be blessed if you mourn, for you will be comforted. And we're talking about the spiritual comfort, a supernatural comfort that comes from the Holy Spirit and can only come from the Holy Spirit. This is the blessing in mourning. So when we are on our knees weeping for those that are lost, when we're on our knees seeking Him and concerned and grieving for the world, the Holy Spirit comes and He comforts us. He comforts us in our grief. John 14:15-17 says, if you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and He will give you another helper, also translated comforter. King James Version says comforter here, that He may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees Him nor knows Him, but you know Him, for He dwells with you and will be in you. Now the Greek word for helper or comforter used here is parakletos. Parakletos, it means an intercessor. It means a consoler or an advocate. That's who we have in our being. As the Holy Spirit comes, He's our comforter, our intercessor, our consoler. He's our advocate. The same word is used in John 14:26. It says, but the helper or comforter, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. So when you put that into context, what the Lord is telling us this morning is that when you're grieving and you're mourning over the sin of the world, the Holy Spirit will come and He will give you comfort. And it appears that through this verse 14:26, He will give you remembrance of all things I said to you. He will teach you all things. In other words, He's going to lead you back to the Word of God. And He's going to give you comfort through the Word of God. He's going to give you comfort through understanding who you are in Christ. And that relationship is going to get closer and closer between you and the Lord. That's the comfort. That's the comfort that He has. So important for us to understand. that there is no true comfort unless it comes from God through the Holy Spirit. 2 Corinthians 1, 3 through 4 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort which we ourselves are comforted by God." Now see, this right here really pours out to the second greatest commandment. When we are comforted by God through our grief and our mourning and our relationship with the Lord, when we are comforted by Him, we are now able to bring comfort to others. We are ministers of comfort because the Holy Spirit is comforting us. He's now putting us in the place to where He can comfort others through us as we encourage them, as we pray with them, as we come to love them and really want to be in their lives. 2 Thessalonians 2, 16 through 17. "Now may our Lord Jesus Christ Himself and our God and Father, who has loved us and given us everlasting consolation and good hope by grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work." Comforting our hearts, as He's doing that, He's establishing us in every good what? Word? Every good word. Well, you know, all the good word comes from the Word. So He's establishing us in the Word of God and the Word that He's given us, and He's establishing us in the work that He's called us to do because we are obedient and we have the attitude that we're supposed to have in our relationship with God. The good news is we have this Comforter living inside of us right this moment for those who are believers in Jesus Christ. And when we are grieving and when we're mourning, He will teach us to pray. When we can't find the words, this is so cool. When we can't find the words to pray in our grief, He intercedes for us. Romans 8, 26 through 27. "Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered." The Holy Spirit prays through us to the Father. Intercedes in prayer, because when you're truly in this place of suffering and grief and you really are really mourning for the things that we're called to mourn for, we don't know how to pray. I mean, we have certain prayers that we put out. "Lord, remove the coronavirus. Lord, bring healing to your people. Lord, keep the world safe, or your people safe." All that we can come up with these one-line prayers, and they're all good prayers to pray. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that they're not. But when it really gets down to the core of it, there's so much more that's going on in the people we're praying for that we don't know. Think about this. When you're going at a really difficult time in your own life and you're suffering with something, sometimes you don't share it. And when you don't share it, your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ don't know how to pray for you. They don't know what to do. They know you're going through something. So as they begin to pray for you, as they begin to mourn for you and ask that God would reveal to them, you know, how to minister to you, the Holy Spirit intercedes and prays and groans for you through them because they are sincere about their prayer. They don't necessarily know what they're praying or why they're praying. Now, with that said, I would encourage you this morning to trust one another, to share. It makes it a lot easier to pray when we know what we're praying for. But at the same time, know that God is moving in the hearts of His people who are seeking Him, and He may put something on somebody's heart, and they just may call you out of the blue, say, "Hey, Lord, just put you on my heart." Have you ever had that happen? I know I have. I've done that, and I've had people do that. They will call me out of the blue. I feel like you're kind of heavy of heart right now. And I appreciate that because I know that there are things that I go through, and I will be honest with you, as a pastor, I can't share with you everything I go through. It wouldn't be prudent for me to do that because, unfortunately, there are people that believe that pastors are above sin. Sorry. I'm a human being, just like you're a human being. We have things that we process. We have things that we go through. And there are times where it's not prudent for us to go to the body and share everything that we go through. But it does come to the place where we know we still have people that are praying for us. And God uses those prayers. I need your prayers. You need my prayers. We all need each other's prayers. And know this, that the one who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, and he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Now, this passage alone shows how the Holy Spirit comforts us. This is what Jesus meant when he said, "You're blessed when you mourn." This is what it's all about. He's saying, you are blessed. All of these things I'm giving you the Word, giving you the Holy Spirit. If your heart is right and your attitude is right and you're in true mourning for sin of those around you, the Spirit will come. He will bless you. He will comfort you. And you will not be left alone. You will not be left alone. We are blessed with the greatest comforter. Now, we all remember the story of Job. When he was mourning, his friends came and thought they were helping. And for 7 days they did, because they shut their mouths and just sat there. For 7 days they mourned with him. But then they all had a reason as to why he was where he was at. And they were all trying to comfort him by telling him that you're in sin. It's got to be your sin. And they all spoke these things out. But Job 16, 1 through 3, I always love this passage. Then Job answered and said, "I've heard many such things. Miserable comforters are you all. Shall words of a wind have an end, or what provokes you that you answer?" See, that's not the type of comfort that we need to be doing. We don't need to be going to people and pointing out everything in their life. We need to be praying for them as God has us. If they're mourning because of their sin, if they're mourning because of something in their life, maybe it's not a sin, maybe it's a loss. Maybe they're going through a loss. Maybe they're going through something. But what we need to do is to come to them and comfort them by sometimes just sitting with them. I remember years ago, a pastor that we knew had false accusations made against him. And he was arrested. He was since exonerated. But at the time, he spent probably, I don't know how many days in jail before they got the attorneys in place and got him out of jail and got this whole thing. And I remember when he was released, I went to the church and I sat with him. We sat together in a room upstairs in the church. And we didn't speak. There was just a heaviness of heart. I just wanted to be with him. I knew he was not guilty. I mean, in my heart I knew. And he wasn't. But the thing was, is that there was nothing that I could say. But I could pray, and I could just be there. And that's what we're called to do. Sometimes we have a little bit, we're quick to speak, slow to listen. And that's something that Scripture tells us about. We should be slow to speak and quick to listen and slow to become angry. And see, Job's friends got angry with him, and he was angry with them. But when you're truly mourning and you're truly praying and seeking and you're doing what God has called you to do, you are a comfort to others because the Holy Spirit is comforting you and comforting others as well. True mourning cannot be comforted in the fleshly realm, only in the spiritual realm. And we are truly blessed to have the Holy Spirit with us, bringing comfort to those who mourn. So this morning I want to encourage you. First off, if you're going through something, if you're struggling, if you have something in your life that you're really putting before the Lord and you're mourning over it, or if you're mourning over others in your family, I know that we have a lot of us in our church that are praying for the lost in our families because of choices they've made or decisions that they've made to reject Christ. We're praying for them, and as we mourn for them, let's encourage one another. And let's come together in prayer. And that's one thing that I really am going to miss right now. We won't have our Wednesday night prayer. We are suspending all of our services getting together. So we won't have our Wednesday night prayer. But as I mentioned earlier, we're going to send some things out for us to be praying for. But also, just remember that as you pray for the lost in your family, pray for the lost in your brothers and sisters' families as well. Because we all struggle with this. We all have somebody at least one somebody, and probably multiple somebodies, that have not really accepted the Lord. But I want you to be blessed this week. I want you to be blessed as a mourner. I want you to take on the attitude that I want to see. I want to see the world the way you see it, God. Now, we know that He's not going to burden us to the point that we can't function. But I do want you to be prepared. If you pray that God would give you a heart to see the world as He sees it, you're going to be truly mourning. He's going to put some stuff in your heart that's going to make you just, oh my God, I can't handle this. Well, you don't have to. That's when the Holy Spirit comes, intercedes on your behalf. He brings comfort to you. But God wants the church to see the world and sin the way He sees it. Not be complacent about it. Not being welcoming to it. We welcome people. We don't welcome the sin. And if somebody comes in a lifestyle or whatever that goes against God's word, we need to love them but speak truth to them. And if they can remain in that truth and continue to come, then the Holy Spirit can work on their heart. Or maybe a seed would be planted, they may leave in anger. But if a seed is planted, that's between them and the Lord. I don't worry about somebody who is angry with me because of what the Word of God says. That's between them and God. I'm just the delivery person. I'm just the one that puts it out there. And so should you be. Everyone here, everyone in God's kingdom should be a messenger. And as a messenger, sometimes we speak things that the king has declared that you may not like. But if we come with the heart of mourning and the heart of preparation and prayer, God will work through that. And He will comfort you in the midst of every situation that comes into our lives. Do we believe that this morning? I hear an amen from three people here. Amen, amen, and amen. Yeah. And I'm hearing an amen in the kingdom right now for those who believe and those who are listening online. May God bless you all, continue to keep you this week, continue to protect you, and may God bring us through this season until we can meet again. And again, right now, we don't have an exact time. We're going to monitor this as we go. But may God bless you and keep you. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, thank you. We love you and we praise you. Go before us. And all that we do, in Jesus' name.